Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd welcoming you again to I would call my Tuesday night fireside chat. I am excited about tonight. I might not sound that way, but definitely have something that I believe God has given me, and I want to really, you know, take my time and talk to you tonight for all the listeners. First, you know, before we get into all of that, you know, I want to give thanks to God. So if you could just join me in a brief word of prayer, wherever you may be or whatever you might be doing. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for all that you have done and that you are doing. Father, Lord, I adore you. God, without your presence, Father, none of the things that you have enabled me to do, Father, could be possible. Lord, I thank you, O God, on how you have kept me safe. And God, how you have turned COVID away from me. But Lord, for those people that have caught it and living today, God, I thank you for them. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we go through this next hour and release something that you have given me to release to your people, Lord, that you send the angels and God, that you prepare their ears and their spirits, Father, to receive what you're saying tonight. Lord, I thank you, O God. Father, I appreciate you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, this is an interesting fireside chat. You know, for the last 2 months, we have been talking about the making of a leader. And we went through the first two chapters in this book. And the book is written by a guy by the name of Frank DiMaggio. And it's not just an interesting read. And just to give you a little background about me, I really can't read self-help books. It's just not in me. I struggle with reading things that, you know, it's about someone else's testimony trying to get you to understand their life. And not that I have anything against their books, it's just it doesn't do anything for me. I have to read books that really dive into my spirit. And it's not the self-help that grabs me, but it's the essence of where your spirit is and where my spirit is at that moment. Whether it's understanding gifts, whether is understanding how the Spirit of God wants to deal with me. So those kind of books really grab me. I'm an advocate. I'm an avid reader of Watchman Nee. I really can get into his books. I'm an avid reader of Smith Wigglesworth. So my spirit is not excited about the emotional, social makeup of people. My spirit gets excited when we begin to discuss the things that God says that you can do. And I'm not talking about materialistic things, but I'm really referencing people laying hands upon sick folks and they're recovering, you know, people speaking to the storm and the wind stops blowing. You know, those are the things that when you really get into hearing and believing what you read, if Jesus raised someone from the dead, you know, my spirit leaps when I hear about these things happening. So I'm not a religious man now, far from that. I'm a man that loves God, and I often tell people that the difference between a religious man and a man that loves God. And so I'm not a judgmental person. So it is the essence of understanding where God has me is what jumps into my spirit. So I said that, and I want to, you know, use that as a caveat, because before I could go into chapter 3 in this book, the Lord laid upon my heart to lay another layer of a foundation. And so for those that have your Bibles, and if you're listening, you know, I really want to welcome you into this subject matter. And you may share this with someone else, because it is freeing if you are in the ministry. It is delivering if you are doing anything for God through the people that he has sent your way. So this is powerful when it comes to dealing with people that don't know God. You know, this is foundational for those folks that don't believe there's a God. And so this is what makes this fireside chat so interesting right now. And so if you have your Bibles, those that can, you know, turn to Exodus chapter number 3. And I'm only going to read or speak upon one particular verse. But this verse is critical for where you are as a leader and where you're going as a servant of God. Now, and so, you know, if you are a leader, this will probably be the most powerful thing that you can draw into your spirit. Most powerful thing that you can draw into your spirit. And so Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 14. And if you have your Bible with you, what makes this interesting is the topic itself, you know. And if you can hear me, it says, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel." You know, Exodus chapter number 3, verse 14, you know, God says, I am that I am. Now, you know, if I could for tonight use for a topic, it would probably be, you know, no need blame God. Just think about this now. There is no need to explain God. When we discuss trying to explain things that happen in life, we can only use the references that has been given to us. We cannot use words that we're unfamiliar with, and we cannot use situations that we cannot answer to or give an account of. So oftentimes when it's the opportunity to explain a matter or situation, there must be some history or background that can point someone into the direction that they could receive an understanding about what you're speaking of. It's indicative now that when we find ourselves doing things and we have someone that we are instructing or teaching, we have to do things that are necessary to help give explanation to what we're doing. If we are leaders, then, you know, somewhere we've developed the understanding or criteria that a leader has followers. You know, now notice now, This is indicative now. A leader has followers. And so if they have followers, then oftentimes the leader finds he or herself explaining habits, explaining deeds, explaining culture, explaining what they believe to be true. And so these explanations now lead people down a road to where they could either understand where the leader is or coming from, or be able to articulate the reason why they do what they do. So, you know, what makes this critical now is that that means the leader can only explain things based upon what they've been educated upon or the experience that they've had. And so now what makes this difficult is that if they hadn't had many experiences, then their explanatory positions are going to be limited. I hope y'all are listening to me now. Again, Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 14, God says that I am that I am. And so if my experience is limited, then so can be my credibility in explaining this situation. If I have not experienced these things a lot, then you know, I may be considered not credible when it comes to making such decisions or disseminating information. I know, I want you to hear me now. So if we are experts in a field and we have people that are wanting us to teach them about what we do, it is now we pull upon the knowledge of the industry and the wisdom behind what we've learned. And so if a mass amount of people have confidence in the in my understanding, my knowledge, my understanding of the wisdom that I have in this particular industry, then it would cause more followers. Because their limited knowledge about something causes them to link up with someone that knows more than what they do. Whew, man, I tell you now, this is going to free you now. This is going to free you. You know, there is no need now to explain God. So now, based upon the instructor or the teacher's information, you know, and the years behind them being in an industry and knowing more about the ebb and flow of it, the one, the twos and the threes, the A, the B and the C's of it, you know, allows them a certain position to where they can almost anticipate when something has gone wrong in a process. Because they have their eyes on it. If you have trained as a nurse for a number of years, there are certain things within a hospital setting that you have been instructed to know what to see, but it really doesn't become real to you until you've been pushed in that position or placed in that area and having to now do some things, you know, that may be critical to someone's life. Again, no need for you to explain God. What I found here in the book of Exodus, as I read this, and you all may be familiar with the situation on the story, and God made this evident for me to lay this foundation before we get into the gifts. And so Moses now is called of God. Now, I want to be careful when I say called of God, because that has a churchy feeling to it. The actual call that God has on Moses' life did not start when he, you know, left Egypt. God knew who Moses was prior to, and no doubt he was pulling Moses to come closer to him at any given time. So it is God that sets up a situation that brings about a revelation that you now can see him in a different light. You know, you got to grab a hold of this. So what I love about this now, Moses spends time with God and he's never met God. He's never been in the presence of God. And because his experience with God is limited, and he really doesn't know what God will do or will not do. It's his first time hearing God's voice. The only thing that she could rest upon was the fact that God knew more than he did. And God had told him vividly what would happen. And because Moses had issues now with his speech impediment and not really knowing who this God is, you know, he now gets to the point after God gives him instruction of saying, who's going to listen to me? I have a speech impediment and I don't talk well in front of folks. I just don't do this. And Moses began to explain his position as why this would be a difficult task, not understanding why God chose him to do this. Have you ever been in a place or a situation and you find yourself being the one that is in charge of leading this, but your knowledge and in information about where you are is limited? There is not a lot of resource for you to pull on to ensure whatever this message is, whatever the task is, that I can complete it to its highest capabilities. Have you ever been there? You know, and you really don't get comfortable because you're a little nervous. Anxiety may be setting in because this is an area in your life that you're not familiar with, that you cannot draw a lot of reference from. You can't pull up historical information that would allow you to come close to an answer that makes sense. And so, since that's the way it is, sometimes we back off if we can explain it. You know, no one wants to get in front of some people and declare that they know something but cannot explain it. Oh, my Lord. This is critical now. This is critical for us. But and the reason why it's critical is because of the position that God has us in. I'm not talking about the leader of a church, man's church. I'm definitely not discussing going out and evangelizing to people that know who God is. I'm talking about the difficult ones that you have never dealt with, that now you've been placed in front of, and you're reaching for someone that could give you some information so you don't look like you're stupid, right? Y'all don't know anything about that. But there's no need now for you to explain God. So we walk through these shadows and these unknowns when we first come to the Lord. And some of us are still walking in those shadows of the unknown because they are struggling trying to explain God. Man, I hope y'all hear me here tonight. There's no need. There is no need to explain God. And no doubt now, Moses have come up with all of these different issues and situations, and he now poses the question unto God, who shall I say sent me? Because these people are not going to believe that I stood before God. They're not going to believe that you have spoken to me. So So, you know, and this is my first time having an encounter with you. And so, God, how is it that you bring me fresh off the street, fresh out of the desert, dust on my feet, hungry, you know, belly empty. You know, I'm thinking about other things. So, God, how is it now that I have just come to even think that I want to have you in my life and I haven't made a full confession? How, God, can you use me? Especially when I cannot explain this God. Now, God takes it within himself, so he has to, because he gives the most profound answer, and it has slipped by us as leaders. And if you could, I hope you all have been rehearsing this scripture, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And I hope you are listening as you read this, because it is God that says, tell them I am that I am. And that's unique now, because if God won't give himself a structure or a title, or God won't give himself a position, if he won't give himself anything, I am that I am sounds so broad, sounds so infinite. It sounds so full. So how do I explain a God like this? There's no need now. There is no need to explain God. Because God tells Moses, now listen to this, I am that I am. If you need me over here, I'm that. If you need me over there, I'm that. If you need me to be the fly on the wall, I'm that. There is nothing that God cannot be, and there is nothing that God cannot do. If you want him to be this tree, he is that. If you want him to be fish in the water, he is that. And so there is no real explanation, not only of who God is, but you cannot even begin to fathom or pull the wisdom behind the conversation that tells you, you know, where God is. We believe he's right here, but yet he can be over there. So, you know, now we face, because if you can't tell me about this God in a manner that makes sense to me, then why do you serve this God? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, believers and unbelievers, there is no need to explain God. You know, if I could just talk to you for a moment here. For God to say that I am, would stop one from trying to label him as something. Now, the labeling, when we do this, we put people into categories, and the labels behind the categories are subliminal, and it means something. It's directive, it's directional, it's impulsive. So these names could follow different facets of the human language. These names would have placed God into one position, and if he stayed with that explanation, then he could not move to the next position. Again, I'm asking you now, you know, I'm making a statement. There is no need to explain God. What I am real excited about is when one goes into the ministry to serve the Lord, and that's serving God through the people that he sends your way, how are you planning to explain God? Because you can only go as far as your experience and how he has dealt with you. And you know, y'all hear me here now, because many leaders feel defeated because they are trying to come up with an explanation to tell someone else about God. They are trying to figure out why a tornado hits this house and skips the next two houses and hit the fourth house that is sitting in the cul-de-sac. How do you explain God? They are trying to come up with different reasons on why, you know, God does this over here but doesn't do that over there. And the more that you would read about God in these particular topics, the more you discover that the writer is still trying to figure out God. Man, that's powerful. I want to free you here tonight. Because if you spent time with people trying to explain God, you've wasted time. There is no explaining about who God is. Now, you can talk about who God is to you, but he may be something different to the person sitting next to you or listening on this broadcast. God is not going to manifest himself the same way with everyone because they meet the minimum criteria. Why would God begin to explain? He would be explaining himself all day, all night, and we could not even come close to understanding him. We struggle with it today. If the truth be told, we're having problems today trying to understand God. You may not want to believe that. You may even have a problem with it. But before you get into the gifts that God has given you, you need to understand that I don't need to explain to you who God is. The only way a person is going to come to a realization of who God is that they have a situation where they have to deal with God. Y'all with me? If God is not dealing with you, you will find it difficult to know him. And the dealings of God are as vast and different as the people that he has created. No one person can come up with the solution by themselves of who God is, because collectively we can give you an understanding of who he is to me. But the essence of this discussion is not who God is to me. It is who God is to you. That is the strength of this. You grabbing a hold of who God is to you. Dear hearts, to be able to write that on the wall and where God would say, I am that I am, encompasses everything that you can see, touch, hear, smell, or taste. It's everything. Everything that is around you, God says, I am that. When you get ready to get in your car, you can leave God here at your home. And he will be with you as you ride and walk into any destination that you're going to. Why? Because he's God. He doesn't need an explanation. Neither does he need an introduction. The only thing God is looking for from us is that we would obey him. And we have to be proactive and being a part of who he is and what he does. I want to have this discussion in a manner by which you're receptive of it, because we have spent the last year and a half trying to explain God. When it comes to the pandemic, you have those that believe that this is not of God. They believe it is of the devil. You have those that, you know, don't even understand God enough to try to figure that out. But then, you know, you have those that believe that this whole situation has been orchestrated by God. And because the present leaders that are spiritual need more followers. So it is their desire to articulate and stand on who they say God is. But God is not asking that question potentially to a mass majority of people as he is asking that question in that mass majority of people to individual by individual by individual. This is the thing. Moses couldn't explain God. God knew Moses could not give definition or try to explain who God is. So the instructions Moses was given just tell them, I am that I am. I think it's a powerful statement, especially with someone that just comes to the area of trying to know who God is and so excited about the things they believe God is doing in their life to the point that they want to explain who God is, but it's not needful, neither is it necessary for you to explain God. Mm. Wow. Imagine being a leader and never feeling the responsibility to explain God. Some would call this a normalcy because they run into the wall all the time because they run into people that may know more biblically than they do. Some that has been saved longer than they have. And they begin to think that this person knows God more or better than I. But not knowing that this person's knowledge of God is limited. Are y'all listening to me? The person's knowledge of God is limited, you know, only to things that are outside of them, and then it's real limited based upon what's in their heart. Because if God communicates spirit to spirit, and he could be in Washington, D.C., and here in Georgia, he could be in the tree or over in the redwoods in California. Right now, to explain God would be difficult. Because he says, your ways are not my ways. Since we can't explain it, why do we struggle believing it? We are no better than Moses, and Moses no better than us. Not even better. I wrote a comment yesterday because a friend of mine gave it to me. I thought it was a beautiful, profound statement because, and I'm saying this to the leaders, oftentimes leaders think that someone knows more than they do and they're getting a better upper hand on what's going on around them. And that's not true, you know, because the statement says that you believe that the other person's ice water is colder than yours, but yet they freeze at the same temperature. So let that sink in. How can you know God, if, you know, to a level that you can explain him? I can't. Because there's so much about him
I can only share my situation with you, but I don't want you to think that my situation is going to be your course with God. It's not. The only thing that you have before you is not the explanation of God, but the power of God. So don't spend so much time making the attempt to explain to people or give an explanation about God, because you may say he won't do something, and then he goes over there and does it. The only thing God won't do is lie. That's it. He will not lie. And since he will not lie, he cannot lie, can I say that he won't take the life of a child because the spirit of the child really belongs to him? He wants that spirit back. Can I say that every person in the hospital is going to be healed? You know, why would God heal this person of COVID and this person dies? We can put medical explanations to that, but after the medical theories have been debunked, the only thing that's left is God. And they look back to see if they could, what God would say. And since they don't know if God had revealed it to them, they stand in amazement, hoping that God would reveal himself. So they would have some type of experience, knowing just a tad bit of who he is. The only way that you're going to know God as a leader, we all know how, you know, is spend time with him. What does it mean to spend time with God? You know, I'm not telling you to open up the Bible, you know, and read it all day long. I mean, it's a good read. Well, it's not what I'm saying. I cannot tell you to go buy Smith Wigglesworth's Billy Sunday, A.A. Allen, Catherine Kuhlman, you know, these guys, and they're going to teach you about God. No, God has not changed in how he taught people about him. Now, the difficulty is we live in the 21st century, so we just can't fathom God doing some of the things he did back then. And because we can't explain it, it makes us look inadequate. But the truth is, the only reason why we sound crazy or look crazy is because we are making an attempt to explain God. If we stop trying to explain God and just say he is that he is, he just said I am that I am, they may make a you know, something out of that. I don't know. But, you know, the truth is that God can be something to you, but yet hadn't revealed himself to be that way. Doesn't mean that I know God more than you. I know God's for me. And for those that don't know the Lord, you know, and you're trying to explain him because something happened that is just unexplainable, completely unexplainable. And because that's a difficult position to be in, you know, we find ourselves as leaders feeling inadequate. But the truth is, there is no need to explain God. There is no need to explain him. Why? Because where you thought he was today, he could have moved from there tomorrow. How he got there, what he's doing, how is he doing it? He hadn't revealed that to you. Because of that, we're guessing. And we have more leaders now that don't understand God, trying to explain God. You know, and through all of these things, they are making themselves sound foolish as people listen to them. Think about it now. They make themselves sound foolish listening to them. If the truth be told, more folk would feel the conviction of the Spirit of the Lord if they just stepped back and was honest with God and said, I really don't know you. So how can I explain you? And you will hear God tell you there is no need to explain God. Not him. You can't fight his battles. Neither can you fight his wars. He's already won according to time. In eternity, that situation has already come rendered unto the Lord. So how can you explain it? He's bigger than the universe. How can you explain it? He created the earth. He holds it in the palm of his hand. How can you explain that? Oh, Lord, he's in the hospital with the doctors. She's on the battlefield with the soldiers. He's in the air with the pilots. He's on the ground with the drivers. How can you explain God? Tell me how, when there's no need to explain it. God has never asked us to defend or give an explanation of who he is. So the other caveat that is often leaders, even when they don't know, want to put an explanation out there, hoping that no one will question his ability to know who God is. That's intimidating for a lot of leaders. It's intimidating for self-made church by man. That's intimidating because they're not trying to hear from the Lord. They're trying to hear from one another. There ain't nothing wrong with listening to anyone, but the realness of it is that you're trying to even point where you are, trying to understand or explain God to someone that you have just come in contact with. Think about that. You know, you want to tell them about God, but you don't know what to say. Some have written these little small scripts that they read, and they have these sayings, or they pretty much know what scripture they're going to pull out when they run against someone that don't know Jesus. And the truth is, you really don't know him. And yet, you're trying to explain. I know that sounds crazy. You don't know him, but yet you're trying to explain who he is. If you could convince someone that you alone knows what God is doing or what he's saying, that puts you in a position that no one else is in. Sometimes people get high-minded behind those situations. And it's not until it gets difficult that everything they said identifies. They don't know who God is. They're having a serious battle with that. Dear hearts, we're in a difficult moment. We are in a difficult time for the people of God, the children of God, the believers, even the Christians and the Jews, the Gentiles, the Muslims, the Hindus, and, you know, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, all the people. We're in a difficult moment, ladies and gentlemen. And all of us want the hope that if this disease does touch them, that they can recover. Some have buried daughters, brothers, sisters, parents, relatives, and you still can't even come to grips with there's no explanation behind who he is. And I would like to stand upon that. I think the strength in where we're going is to be able to say, I don't know. I want y'all to hear me now. Instead of backing yourself in a corner trying to tell people what God will and will not do, just point them to Jesus and say, I don't know. I know it is not the answer that they may want to hear, but it's the most prevalent one that we have to really deal with and understand. The truth is, we don't know. We can't explain to you the sovereignty of God. We can't. If we could, we would have done many things to get in the grace of God and where things would not feel, think, or look strange to us as we make the attempt to explain who God is to someone else. But the truth of the matter is, we're still trying to discover who he is at that moment. Freeing, my sisters, my brothers. It's freeing to know that I don't have to explain who God is. I don't have to. When someone is going through a difficult time, the essence of God being there is him leading me to support that individual in whatever manner is necessary. But man, to grab a hold of the idea that I don't have to explain God, that's freeing. For every leader that is out there, that is freeing for them. Because the struggle is, do you know him? That's the struggle. And I can only know God for me. I can't know God for you. I can't tell you unless God reveals something of what he's going to do with you, or how he's about to deal with you. I can't come to any thought process regarding that. Difficult for me. But I'm humble enough to say, I don't know. Not ashamed to say, I don't know. Think about it. Why explain God? You're going to find yourself struggling, stuttering, and not feeling adequate. And now it's not God that has you doing that. Now Satan is doing it because he knows he can't explain who God is. And he knew God before you. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that freeing? That the message that you preach, the lessons that you teach or instruct, is to give them the opportunity to find out who God is. Not try to explain it, because we're human and we're going to miss some things. And because we miss those things, sometimes those things pile up. It looks ugly that I didn't know all of this, but I got to go out here and tell these people who God is. Don't have to explain God. Stop trying. If you have a way to serve the Lord and God has put you there, listen to the Lord tell you how to serve. If they ask you, who is this God? God has always been able to tell them only snippets, you know, like he did Moses. I am that I am have sent me. Powerful statement, ladies and gentlemen. For all the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, for all that are out there, grab a hold of this one thing as you begin to walk the walk as a leader in man's eyes, as a servant unto the Lord. There is no need to explain God. No need. I want to bring this to a close and to an end by saying I hope everyone grabs the book and takes the opportunity to purchase the book and read it. Next week, I will be traveling to, hopefully I will have reached my destination, but I will be traveling, if it be the will of the Lord, to Ocala, Florida to have surgery on my right hip. God brought me through the first surgery on my left hip, and you know, I'm blessed, and just have appreciate so many people praying for me, you know, and how God has moved and allowed me to be in this position. And so my second surgery, it would be the first surgery on my right hip, but it's the second surgery this year because I'm getting, I would have had both hips operated on. And but the second surgery is scheduled for September the 8th. That's right, next week, a week from tomorrow. I will be going under the knife, and I'm praying that the results is either equal to or better than what I received from the Lord on May 3rd. I thank God for our doctors. I thank God for our doctors. I do. God has given us people that want to serve, and the way that they serve is and oftentimes is correcting the issues that we have in our body. And so I'm not religious on that at all. You know, I thank God for, you know, for the medications that he has allowed us, because if it had not been for God touching the mind and the hearts of scientists or for people that know the natural way to use herbs or plant-based things to help correct issues in the body, where would we be? Where would we be? You know, I'm just grateful, you know, for modern day medicine. I really am. If you have not known the pain that one would have to endure with a degenerated hip, you know, no tissue between the bone and having to move, it is just very, very difficult to do that. But we've been blessed with some people that are good at what they do. And so I'm asking that you all be in prayer with me as we go through the next few days preparing for that surgery. Again, we'll be traveling on Tuesday, and if I'm on the road at 7 o'clock, y'all, I'm going on the phone, and we're going to talk about the beginnings of chapter number 3, the making of a leader. If I get to Ocala before 7 o'clock, you'll be listening to this from the hotel room. And, you know, I might have a special guest to help me walk through this this discussion. This is a chat for you because I believe that there are more leaders that God has prepared to lead. And it doesn't mean that you have to have these huge, big degrees in order to do that. Moses didn't have a degree, and he didn't know God. All he trusted was what God told him. I am, the Moses tells him, I am that I am sent you. Think about that. Moses had no understanding of who God, just his encounter at that moment with the Lord. And his encounter with no history, nothing to help him understand what he was about to do, positioned him in a way that he would then be used to free some people. Stop believing that you have to explain God. Just say what God gave you to say. Tell them, I am that I am, has sent you. Well, dear hearts, I want to go into a word of prayer, and then we're going to close out tonight. The few people that are in my heart tonight, and I want to lift them up in prayer. I especially want to pray for people that are working in the ministry. I want to pray for those folks that are seeking opportunities outside of work but in business. And I want to pray for those people that are looking for jobs. When everyone is hiring,
You know, I want to lift the word that God has allowed me to connect with some people. So I'm going to release something tonight. And for those that are looking for jobs and those that are in business, you know, and so that they may hear from the Lord, or God speaks to someone that is going to help them get to their destiny or somewhere in their future. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this night. God, I pray that the people that heard me speak for you, that there's no need to explain you. Just tell them what you said. You know, there's no need to give an explanation or try to come with some defined understanding of you. God, you're so huge and you're so wide, yet so low to the ground that no one can seem to find a way under you. So high, Father, we cannot get over you. So wide, we cannot go around you. So God, just help us not become religious when it comes to you or to what you have asked of us to do. Just be obedient. And we don't have to explain who you are. Lord, I pray for the business owners, or those aspiring to do business, those that have entered into the idea, the avenue of doing business, oh God, cannot be explained, but God, you're going to do something, and they're not going to be able to explain it other than the fact that, you know, you gave favor to them or you blessed them in some kind of way, and those that are religious about it will not be able to explain God. And Lord, you're going to give those a testimony, though, for those that are looking for a job, and not just a job, but a job in Pacific so they can care for themselves, oh God, and for the people that you have given them charge or responsible for. Lord, I thank you, oh God. Father, I appreciate you. God, I pray for the elderly people that are around, that you keep them safe. You keep the listeners tonight safe, oh God, wherever they may be. Wrap them in your arms, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we declare a release in this hour. We thank you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, we come to an end of this particular show, and I'm grateful, and I hope you can take something away from here tonight that will help you grab a hold of the mere fact that you don't have to explain God. There's no need for you to do that. Wherever you are, whatever you may be doing, as people come up to you and you want to witness to them or tell them about Jesus, you know, sometimes you don't have to preach to them or read a scripture. Just love on them and listen to God tell them, or tell you, excuse me, what to tell them. God bless you. We love you. Look forward to being on this again, if it be the will of the Lord, next Tuesday, 7 o'clock. God bless you now.